soul's delight. Every blessing of his favor fills my heart with hope so bright. Jesus is the joy of living. He's the King of life to me. Unto him now I'm giving his forevermore to be. I will do what he commands me. Anywhere he leads, I'll go. Jesus is the joy of living. He's the dearest friend I know. Heavenly wisdom he provides me. Jesus keeps me set free. In his own sweet way he guides me. When the path I cannot see. What splendor of what glory, oh, what matchless power divine, is the Christ of gospel story, Christ the Savior who is mine. Jesus is the joy of living, he's the King of life to me. Unto him are all I'm giving, his forevermore to be. I will do what he commands me. Anywhere he leads, I'll go. Jesus is the joy of living. He's the dearest friend I know.
And I trust that Jesus is the joy of your living. Before we turn to 1 Corinthians, just wanted to give you a note from Mary Lou, and we continue to pray for her and that God would be with her as she's just recently lost wind. But just to the church family, she would like her family and her would like us to know and thank us all for our prayers, flowers, cards, and visits. Wind is finally home, no more suffering and pain. So God bless all of you, Mary Lou, and we trust that God would continue to be with her. We praise the Lord that looks like the business is sold, and that's a huge blessing. So continue to pray for Mary Lou and the rest of the family. God's blessing with her. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is where we're going to be at this morning, continuing on in defining what true love is or what charity is. And so I hope that you'll listen today. It's so practical. Today it's so practical. This is something that we deal with on a daily basis with other Christians, with other people in our lives. And we need to understand what it means this morning, what it means to bear all things. If we look at verse 7, we see that. And again, at the beginning of this verse, it's a list of things that charity or love does. And so you can insert right in front of the first word of verse 7, you can put charity beareth all things, because we're talking about charity. Now understand that when we say charity, we're not talking about charity as far as giving to the local Goodwill or community aid or anything like that. Charity is a different word. The word is agape love. It's long-suffering, self-sacrificing love in the face of opposition. Okay? It's not easy love, if I could put it that way. It's not when somebody is loving us and we reciprocate that back and we love them. Oftentimes, it's actually the opposite of that. When a person is not loving us, they are not being kind to us, they're not being fair to us, they're not being right with us, and we are called to continue to love. Really, that's the definition of what true love is all about. It's you choosing to do it. Remember, love is not an emotion, it's not a feeling. It is absolutely, everybody listen to this, it is absolutely a choice. You decide that you're going to love. I am going to be long-suffering. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to, and then of course the list that we have already developed from verse 4 on. Is love, especially among other Christians, is that important? Is it important? Is it okay with all of your good deeds to overlook charity? Is it okay? Absolutely not. It is not okay. You cannot get by with it. In fact, God takes all of your good deeds and kind of sets them aside if we are not doing it with the motivation out of love. Love for God and love for other people. If we are ministering, and it doesn't matter how much of a hero we are in ministering in certain ways. In fact, we learn that in the first three verses of 1 Corinthians 13. You can do, I mean, the picture that's painted to us of the individual or a group of individuals in the first three verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, honestly, is above us. There are not that many people that are so gifted in speech. There are not so many people that are so gifted in prophecy and knowledge and knowing the Word of God. There are not so many people that have so much faith, like some of the men of faith that we read about. There are not that many people that really live in such great faith. There are not many that many people that are such givers that they're willing to give their bodies and suffer persecution in the way that Jesus Christ did. There are not that many people that have that sort of a walk, which we all ought to try. We all ought to be trusting the Lord to help us do that. But even if we were one of these individuals that just had all of these things, if we did it without the motivation of love for God and love for other people, all of that sacrifice, all of that skill, all of that knowledge means nothing. So I ask the question, is understanding and practicing love important? It is. We've got to have love. You've got to have God's love in your life. You've got to be living it every single day. Every single day, we need to live God's love. And so we are definitely endeavoring to learn what it means to love, what it means not to love. And so we're in verse 7, and we get to this three words here, beareth all things. And if I could preface that, I'm going to say true love beareth all things. What does it mean to bear all things? Now, before you hear me say anything, I think that I could understand maybe what you would say. What does it mean to bear all things? I think that we're going to find that the word that is used here is a little bit different than what we think, although it has it in part. There's two aspects of this word here. Love beareth all things. God, would you help us to understand the truths that are going to be shared this morning from your word, what it means to bear all things. God, you are calling us in our lives to bear our brother and sisters, to bear their things. Lord, there's no doubt that there are difficult things going on in people's lives right now as we sit here today. God, you have said in your word that love is important and love is going to bear things for other people. And so, Lord, we've got to learn it so that we can make sure that what we're doing for you is going to count in eternity. Lord, I pray that we would show you and each other today our love through bearing. In Jesus' precious name we pray, amen. I mentioned that there are two things. Again, the scripture is very simple. Love beareth all things. So really, the message this morning is to understand what it means to bear all things. The word bear, again, is two sides of things. Number one, it means to cover or to support with silence. To cover or to support with silence. The second is taking on the difficulty of others. Taking on the difficulty of others. Here's the illustration that I want you to think through as we look at these two. Imagine with me a pile of rubbish. It doesn't look good. It doesn't smell good. It's a pile of rubbish. Bearing this load is going to be the work of a big blue tarp. Okay, you know what a tarp is? You use a tarp for all kinds of different things. And in this case, the tarp is going to be used in two ways. In one way, it's used to keep the rubbish from being exposed to other people. It's going to keep something in. Does that make sense? The tarp in this case, the first case, is going to keep the mess inside. You know what I'm talking about there when you have a big mess, whether it's inside in a particular room or maybe it's all over the house, or it's outside and somebody's coming over. And you have a couple thoughts. I can clean it up, but I don't have time. So therefore, I'm going to cover it over, right? And we do a number of things to cover it over. We might throw that blanket over that thing and, oh yeah, that looks nice and you can't see anything behind it, right? Shut the door. That's one of the easiest things. We have doors. You know, shut the door and don't let, you know, you tell the kids, don't let anybody in that room, okay? You know, for us sometimes it could be our garage, you know. Our garage is very useful and it tends to be a place where you store a bunch of things that you took out of your house. You know, my family is very famous for bringing stuff and putting it in a certain spot. And what's this pile for? That's for the garage. You know what that means? That means I don't want it in sight here, but it will be great in your place out there, okay? Now I'm teasing a little bit, but that's kind of the tendency of what it is. Take it out to the garage. Well, then for me, you know, we have, you know, you might be out on your day off working and the garage door is up. You know that when the garage door is up, that's a risk, okay? Because at any time somebody could pull up and you've got to have the remote or the button real handy because it's got to come down. So if any of you ever drive into my property and all of a sudden you see the garage door coming down, you know it's not meant for your eyes, okay? Now I joke a little bit with that, but only a little bit. Because we tend to want to cover things over. It could be a door, it could be a big blanket, it could be a tarp, okay? Because we don't want people to see what's inside. Maybe for what's underneath protection, maybe for the person arriving, maybe for their protection. And so either way, we are trying to put the tarp on top to contain what's inside. Does everybody understand that first level? And again, I'm giving you a very vivid picture of what it means to bear all things, okay? The first definition of bearing all things is to cover what's underneath, okay? That's the first. The second has to do with what's on the outside, and it's keeping what's on the outside from getting in, okay? What's another good purpose for a tarp? Keep the rain off, right? Or, you know, maybe it's a rubber tarp or of some sort, but you are putting something over the top of this pile because you don't want it to get penetrated with, maybe it's rain, maybe it's snow, maybe it's something else. And so you're going to put something over it so that it is protected, okay, from getting in. And in a sense, that tarp is going to bear it's going to be the first line of defense. Does that make sense? You know, I don't want my firewood outside, you know, when a big rainstorm comes. Maybe I don't want to get it all wet because I'm going to be taking it inside the next day and burning it. I know that we burn firewood, and when there's a big snowstorm coming up, or I know there's going to be a big rainstorm, I don't always keep my firewood covered. But when I know it, there's potential for a lot of moisture, then I might go out there and lay on top of it something so that it doesn't penetrate. And what I'm wanting to happen is I'm wanting that, whether it's a piece of tin or that rubber or that tarp, what I'm wanting is for that to be the first line of defense so that it will kind of get rid of most of that moisture. Yeah, some's going to get in the sides, but most of that moisture, that rain, that snow is going to go on top of it. And then hopefully eventually it's going to go off the side of it, not going to penetrate. So it's a line of defense. So in one case, a tarp is going to be used to keep what is inside. We're working from the inside out, and it's protecting it from getting out. On the other side, it's bearing the weight and it's keeping things from getting in. I think that's pretty simple to understand. You understand that, right? Okay. Now, I want you to think of that as we go through what it means to bear all things, because we have the first definition, keeping things from without or from within going out. The second, keeping things from without coming in. All right. So two main points. First of all, the tarp is there to keep the rubbish in, protect the outside. And this is the first meaning of the word, meaning to bear, to cover up. Now, when it says in light of other people, we are instructed here to cover up the rubbish of other people. Is it a fact that we look good? You know, everybody's here and dressed nicely, and you hopefully, you know, took a shower of some sort and cleaned, you know, brushed your teeth, did whatever. We give a presentation when we get to church of something on the outside. But if truth were known to everybody else, is the inside of who we are a little bit like rubbish? A lot of our insides are wicked and filthy, and it smells horribly. What's inside? You know what? We're talking about our thoughts. We're talking about our motives. We're talking about what we really think of people, you know, that nobody knows. We're talking about, you know, the Jeremiah put it this way, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And who could know it? The fact of the matter is, I don't even think we understand how dirty and filthy our rubbish of our insides is. The fact of the matter, though, is sometimes it tends to come out a little bit and people can see. What does it mean then to bear all things in love for other people? What this really practically means is that we come along as a tarp and we cover that over so that we can protect the reputation of the individual. Now, let me be clear with this, that we're not talking about, God is not talking about covering up sin and pretending like sin has not happened. In fact, in the book of 1 Corinthians earlier, the church was charged for this sin of pride because they were trying to pretend that right wrong was right and right was wrong. Now, can I tell you, that's the world that we're living in today. God is not asking us to bear the sin of the world in a sense that we cover up sin and pretend like there is nothing there. In fact, when there's sin with another brother, God wants us to go there and try to help them so that they can get the sin right. We're not talking about pretending like there's nothing. What bearing all things has to do with, in the first aspect, it has to do with protecting the reputation of the individual. Protecting them so that they don't look bad. One person said it this way, bearing all things is without speaking of what it has to bear. Remember in the definition I said it was silently. If I know one of you is struggling with some things in your life and you've got some rubbish, and if I go in front of other people and I tell them, you know, I said, listen, I'm working with so-and-so and their pile of rubbish really stinks. I'm not protecting that person, and in this case, I'm not bearing that other person. Because to bear means to protect them. I'm not supposed to do anything to make them look bad in front of other people. Nothing at all. I am protecting their reputation in front of others. The Greek word that is used here is used to endure without divulging to the world the reality of the personal stress or distress that's going on in their lives. So I come along and I'm trying to help bear that load in a sense. If I were to ask you again at the beginning, if I say, what does it mean to bear? We would say to bear a load, right? And that mostly lines up with the second part of the definition that I gave you, but it has more to do with that. To bear that is to also protect it and to put a covering over it so that I'm bearing it. We don't use the word today that so much that way, but if we were to take something out of the refrigerator that's been in the refrigerator way too long, and you open it up and it smells bad, what are we going to do with the lid that was on it really quickly? I don't know about you, but I'm not going to sit there and, you know, and set it like a candle on the countertop. Really quickly, I'm either going to throw it away, but even if I throw it away, what am I going to need to do with it? I got to find some way to cover it up, right? I got to get it covered because I don't want that smell. You know, if I go, it doesn't do any good for you to take the garbage out and just leave it exposed like that. You need to tie it up. You need to zip it up. You need to do something to get it out, because what's going to happen? You know, if you're a scientist, you know what happened to all those molecules. They are going to diffuse, okay? So what we do is we really quickly, we take a lid and we put it up, put it on top so that that smell stays there. When this word was used here to bear all things, it was saying you need to do your best to cover it up so that that smell doesn't get out. Do you know that that is love? That's loving your brother. When you're there and you're, now, I'm not talking about physically. Well, let's look at it physically just for a moment. Let's say that there's an individual and you walk by and you're like, whew. And all of a sudden, you go like this. Okay, what are you doing to that person? You're exposing them, right? You are saying, everybody, listen, this person has problems. Don't come near. Don't. Is that loving that brother? There's no way. Very practically, there are sometimes, you know, when I come into church like this, and I have no clue, you know, I'm like this, and a person who doesn't love you will just be like, boy, who dressed him this morning? And they won't say a word. And they'll let me walk around. Now, I can feel it on my neck, okay? So I know something's wrong, but sometimes it will be, you know, halfway there or whatever the case. Did I get it? It's not love to sit there and say, I'm not going to say anything. Now, that's our tendency. Well, I don't want to say anything. But you know what? When another brother comes up and says, here, pastor, let me fix your collar. Now, they didn't want to do that because they take the risk of making me feel bad or something like that. But for me, you know what I'm thinking? Thank you. Thank you for taking care of that. So I didn't walk around all morning preaching my message, you know, with my collar up, thinking that I was trying to set some sort of a new fad, you know, among preachers. No, he's going to come to me and he's going to say, listen, you need to fix that. You need to do this. You need to, you know what, this is, you know what, going back to the illustration, when that person smells, what you're going to do is you're going to maybe get in front of them somehow. You're going to use yourself there. This is actually part of the second definition, okay, as a shield. But you're going to do everything you can to protect what's inside so that other people don't see it. Practically, if you love your brother or your sister, you are not going to try to get that out to everybody else. Did you see Pastor's collar this morning? You know, he must not have, you know, anybody that tells him what to do. You know, he must, you know, did you see how Pastor didn't match? Okay, that's very likely to happen because I'm colorblind. And so I might wear things that you say, what happened? And by the way, if I ever come into church not matching, just pass it over because I can't see the colors. And it must have, I somehow must have escaped all of my kids and my girls, although the boys won't help me. Because they're colorblind as well, but somehow I escaped the three ladies in my house, okay? And I got out, but that's not their fault, it's my fault if I didn't get it passed, you know, before we walked out. No, I'm kidding with a lot of this stuff. We don't do that system, but if they see it, though, they're going to say something because they love me. But if they didn't love me, you know, the girls could really do something tormentious to me if they saw me one morning put on, you know, this
this certain thing and be like, we're just going to get Dad today, you know, and we're going to make him look like a fool in front of everybody else. And I would have, you know, black and blue mixed up or whatever, and I would go in and wear something they could, because I don't know any better. But if they really loved me, they wouldn't do it. In fact, they would do everything they could. They might even get in the van and drive home really quickly and get Dad another tie, because that doesn't work. And they have done something like that before, okay, to cover for me. True love is going to do everything you can not to expose another person. Now, we've had fun with the ties and the collars and maybe even the smell. But can I say very practically, when you love a brother, you're going to do everything you can to that brother or sister to make sure when there's a little bit of smell, and I'm not talking about physical here, when there's something that's not good, you're going to do everything that you can to keep that in and protect them so that other people won't smell it, so that they will not see it. The person goes on to say, literally, it's said of holding fast like a watertight vessel. There's that lid. You're not going to let it out. So the charitable or the loving man contains himself in silence from giving vent to what selfishness would prompt under hardship. Do you know what our natural tendency is? We love to be vents. Why? Why do we do that? It's because we're selfish. You see, if my brother smells a little bit worse than I do, I smell good. Does that make sense? Aren't we pretty dirty and low down? We glory in our brother's smell so that we smell good. Now that's very simply put, but I'll tell you, it's where we're all at. We are too selfish. That is not love. True love is going to do everything we can to make that person, listen, look good. To be presentable so that they can, if we really love them, we are not going to expose anything of them. We are going to lock it tight and get it to where there cannot be any air out. It's locked tight. And that has a lot of practicality with our mouths, folks. Our mouths. Our mouths often are the vents of their smell. We open up our mouths, and through our mouths, they smell that other person. My friend, can I tell you, it's half you that they're smelling. Maybe more you. And it's not love. God says when we're supposed to bear all things, that means we're supposed to lock it tight. Rather, I should go to that individual, maybe when we're alone, and say, you know what, Pastor? You've got to work on those colors. You've got to work on that collar. Maybe you need to brush your teeth. Maybe you need to, and I'm giving you dumb examples now, but let's get even more. You know, in the areas of sin, we need to say, you know what? You need to work on, something that you could work on is being more kind to people. You know, you come across sometimes as very proud or a know-it-all or whatever. And of course, we've got to be very careful on how we approach this, all in love. What I'm saying is this, we don't ignore the sin. But we take very good care that that sin goes to nobody else. If it made it to me, I'm going to make sure that it stops with me. So we're dealing with the backside of this tarp here. I'm keeping it all in. I'm doing everything I can to protect and to guard what's back here. Why? Because I love them. And I care for them. But if we are willing to let it out just a little bit, we don't love them. Now, you probably are not as familiar with football as I am, but for the most part, you've got a line of blockers that are trying to protect the people in the backfield. Could be the running backs, could probably most likely be the quarterback that's there, and they do everything they can to protect. There's only one time when the plan is to let the the defenders through the line. Okay, and if you know football, you know that that would be a time when there's going to be some sort of a screen pass. And what they would do is the linemen, the running backs, they would block for just a moment, and then they would kind of like pretend to let them through. And all of a sudden, those defenders, they come rushing in because they're going to get that quarterback, but that's kind of by design to pull them in and then loft it right over their head for a short pass. Then most of the defenders are this way so that they can run. That's the plan. There were times, as even one of those blockers, as a fullback trying to block, that I thought to myself, I sure hope that he gets it off in time, because this is really dangerous for this guy. If he doesn't get the ball off in time, he is going to be crushed. Being a vent and letting it always, in the spiritual realm, always is dangerous. And it's always destructive to the guy you're trying to protect. At all costs, we will not let anybody else in. That's what it means by the first definition of love, beareth all things. So my question to you in application is, are you bearing the rubbish of your brothers and sisters? Or are you one that is a vent? Practically, gossip is a vent. Did you hear? Did you see? I mean, this person has problems. That's a vent. And now what we're doing is we're making them look bad. We're exposing that. The fact of the matter is, everybody listen to this, every one of us stinks inside. Did you hear that? Every one of us. Because why? Because we're all human. We all stink inside. We all do. Physically, mostly spiritually. We're all in the same level and we're all in the same plane. If it weren't for the person of Jesus Christ that went to the cross willingly to pay the penalty of your sin, if it weren't for Jesus, you stink before the whole world. But Jesus did it for you. He covered you. He covered you. I love the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 16 talks about the mercy seat. Do you know the mercy seat is meant to be a covering? And then the blood was sprinkled on the mercy seat. Is meant to be for a covering. Are you thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ that covers your sin? If we're going to be loving Christians, we ought to be covering our neighbor's sin. Not the sin itself, but the person, the reputation. That's what it means to bear all things. To bear all things. Again, we naturally desire to expose. I don't understand that, but we do. Why? Because we're selfish. We tend to want to expose. We ought to be making our brothers and sisters look good. I want you to think about this. When you show up to church on Sunday, on Wednesday night, your goal ought to be to make everybody else around you look good. I mean, first and foremost, you're making God look good, right? We need to make God look good. In everything that we do, we make God look good. But when we show up with another group of people, or whether we're with them or not, we're always trying to make each other look good. That's what love is. Love is making them look good. We're covering for them. We know that they have faults. We know that they stink. You know what? That tarp that's covering over that rubbish knows what's underneath. And it's not that that tarp is lying. It's just protecting. I'm protecting reality. What's going on. And so we need to be very careful with passing in that info to other people. But let's look at the second. The tarp is also there to bear the weight of what is on the outside. So the tarp, if I could say, takes the rain for you. It bears the load for you. It is willing to bear the burden. It's willing to take that. I'm going to be a person that's going to take the brunt of this. I'm protecting what's back there, and so there's things coming at me. There's arrows flying at me. There are darts. There's all kinds. There's rain. There's snow. There are things that are coming at me, and I'm going to stand in between, willing to pay the penalty for this. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Go there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This really is a tremendous verse that explains the second aspect of what it means to bear all things. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. The first pronoun, he, is referring to God the Father. The second one is referring to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. For he, God the Father, hath made him. That would be Jesus Christ. So God the Father made Jesus Christ to be sin for us. That's kind of like the tarp that we're talking about. He made him to be sin. He put him as a first, you know, line of defense from the outside coming in. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus bore the weight of sin on the cross. He bore the penalty of sin on the cross. He bore and gave the possibility of the destination on the cross. Isaiah chapter 53, which is one of the most tremendous prophecy passages about Jesus Christ and what he would do. Isaiah 53, 4 and 5. Listen to this. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Jesus put himself as the first line of defense. Now on the other side, the first definition was back here. I'm protecting them in. This is this side. Now everything that's coming at me, and Jesus Christ bore that for you. He took that. Practically, what does that mean now? To love my brother, what does that mean? To bear the load for people. So you know it was your brother's fault. Do we all make faults? Do we all make mistakes? When we don't love that person, this is what we do. I believe it was his fault. He was the one that did it. I believe, and you might say, but they were. That's not love. Love is my fault. I'll take that. Listen, I shouldn't have, that was an oversight of mine. Now again, I'm not saying that we lie. We're doing everything we can to protect. Jesus didn't lie when he went to the cross, but he was willing to say, I'll take it. They did it, but I'll take it. It is my fault. I will take care of it. I'll be the one. We are so prone to say that was theirs. Why? Because it's the same problem. We are so selfish. We don't want to be exposed. We don't want to look bad. We don't want to look negligent. We are going to pass it on to somebody else, and that is not love. 1 Corinthians love, it's not love. Love is when we step in the way, when we step there and we take the blame for people. It's even more than that, not just take the blame for people, but we defend people. Well, I'm sure that there's other things going on. Why were they not there? Why didn't they do this ministry? I'm pretty sure that they had some other very important things going on. Well, why doesn't that person, why are they doing this? There must be a good reason. Why? Maybe they're going through a difficult time. Maybe they just got some bad news. Maybe they have a bad headache. Isn't it amazing how we have no clue what people are going through? We think that we do, and we're so quick to pass judgment on everybody that's not doing what we do. Why weren't they here? Why didn't they get involved? Why don't... And we have no idea. How many times have we been on that other side and we have not been there? or we have been going through certain things, and we hope and expect other people to just understand, but they could easily be saying, where is he? What's going on in their lives? And we know legitimately there's a good reason why this is going on or this is not going on. Brothers and sisters, I'm telling you, this is closer to home than what we think. If we love people, we need to be very careful not to be pointing fingers at people, but doing everything we can to deflect and protect that other person. I'm pretty confident that they have something going on that you and I don't know. You make sure you do right. Make sure that you do right. Let's not be guilty of hating our brother and passing the buck and saying, you know what, they are so unfaithful. I don't know why. We don't know. We need to trust and love. And if we love, we are going to respond in that same way. We need to be loyal to each other. Brothers and sisters, listen to this. You and I are called to be loyal to our brothers and sisters here. Just last week in Discovery Bible Studies, we understand that when we are not right with our brother and sister, we're not right with God. You think about that. You've got a father that has two sons. That father loves both sons. And when this brother is not loving his brother, he is directly and indirectly not loving his father. Why? Because he, this brother, is his father's son. I hope that my triangle here in the air didn't confuse you. Are you understanding what I'm saying? If you were in Discovery Bible Studies last week, you should understand it. There's no way that you can hate your brother and love God. You cannot do it. Because this brother is one of God's, the Father's, children. If I physically am not loving my brother or sister, my sister lives in Wyoming and my brother lives in Arizona. If I am not loving either one of those brothers or sisters, if I'm not loving them, I am not loving my mom and dad in Wyoming. I'm not, because they love them just as much as they love me. You can't do it. It's impossible. And when we're here on this earth, and if we are not loving, if we are not protecting, if we are not guarding, if we are not making them look good, if we are not loyal to them, then we're not being loyal to God. And God says it's not love. And if we don't have love, then everything that you do means nothing. Brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, this group of people right here, 70 people probably this morning, 65, 70 people, this group of people ought to be so tight and loyal to each other that we would defend each other at any point in time. Unless, of course, I'm not talking about being naive, if there's something blatant that's out there. We don't want to be like 1 Corinthians 5 or whatever it is that covers over, 4 or 5, that pretends like there's nothing there. I'm not talking about that, but we are talking about when there's something going on that we're going to do everything we can to defend and help them. Loyal to each other. That's what love is. Love is going to be loyal. Here's why, everybody listen to this, here's why we have such a bad reputation out in the community. Because this kind of a church right here, independent, fundamental, conservative church, because churches just like this all over the country and all over the world have some of the most hateful people towards each other right here. And they're going like this, and they're exposing this, and they're doing, and they're not loyal to each other. And the world looks at that and says, that stinks. Love is going to do everything we can to protect and deflect. I take it for them. And I'm going to be loyal. I'm going to step out for his back. I'm going to protect him. I'm going to do whatever it takes to protect. That might mean getting together with him alone and saying, hey, brother, you have an issue here that I just want to see you get right with. You know, that it's all a part of it. We're not talking about pretending like nothing's there, but we're going to help them, but we're not going to expose them, and we're going to go to bat for our brothers and sisters. And this group of people right here ought to be that way. That's love. That is love, and we all ought to be there. We need to be loyal. We need to stand up for them. We need to feel their pain.
When you've got a brother and sister that's going through struggles, we've got to go through struggles as well. We've got to be there for them. We need to care for them. You know what? When a brother rejoices because God has blessed him, then every one of us ought to be right there to bless. We all ought to be saying, "Praise the Lord. So excited about what God has done for you." When that brother is crying, then there ought to be 70 other people right there crying with them. Look at what's going on in this person's life. We want to help bear the need. That's what love is. That's what love is. And that's what it means. Three words. Beareth all things. Question, do you love? Do you love your brother? Are you willing to take a beating for your brother? Are you willing to look bad for your brother? Or are we going to beat our brother and do everything we can to see that he gets beat up? During Oliver Cromwell's reign as Lord Protector of England, a young soldier was sentenced to die. The girl to whom he was engaged pleaded with Cromwell to spare the life of her beloved, but to no avail. The young man was to be executed when the curfew bell sounded. And when the sexton repeatedly pulled the rope, the bell made no sound. The girl had climbed into the belfry and wrapped herself around the clapper so that it could not strike the bell. Her body was smashed and bruised, but she did not let go until the clapper stopped swinging. She managed to climb down, bruised and bleeding, to meet those awaiting the execution. When she explained what she had done, Cromwell commuted the sentence. Poet beautifully recorded the story as follows. At his feet, she told her story, showed her hands all bruised and torn, and her sweet young face still haggard with the anguish it had worn. Touched his heart with sudden pity, lit his eyes with misty light. Go, your lover, live, said Cromwell. Curfew will not ring tonight. True story. Are you willing to take it for your brother? Folks, I've got a big burden that we stop being people that are just bashing each other and start tarping over each other. God help us, Lord. Would you please help us to show love to those that are around us, to our brothers, to our sisters. There are none of us any better than each other. Father, we're so grateful that you, of all people, King of kings and Lord of lords, took our place on the cross. You covered our sins with your blood. You hid our iniquity. You took the beating for us. What a perfect example of what it means to bear all things. Father, would you help us to bear all things for the people right here in this church? God, help us. We need your help. We cannot do it without you. It's super important as we demonstrate our love back to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Heads bowed.